Church, one of the things that we need to be reminded of, I think, is that God is always at work. He's always at work. We can be going about our days, going about our lives, and we forget that we might think, well, man, is anything really going on here? Is God at work among us? Is he at work in my life? And the Bible makes clear that he's always at work. Even when it may not look like something's going on, something's going on. He's at work. And on the first Sunday of the year, we like to hear testimonies from people in our congregation about how God has been at work in their lives. And what we hear today is that God is in the process right now, even during this service, of bringing people to himself as the word goes forth, even as testimonies are shared. And he also uses his word to comfort people. And so that's what we're going to hear today from the two testimonies that we'll listen to here. I'm going to invite Dinah Martinez up. She's going to come and share her testimony. As we hear what she says, be mindful of Psalm 72. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory." Amen.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Dinah Martinez. My husband is Andres, is sitting over there. We have two boys. David Fernando is 4, little shine right now, and Sebastian is having a hard time adjusting to nursery after being 3 weeks away. We've been coming to Crossroads for almost a year now. We started coming February 2019. I was born and raised in Puerto Rico. I was also born and raised going to church and actively participating in church activities. My parents got divorced when I was very little. They still maintain a very good relationship, and I used to go to church with my dad every weekend when I was with him. I was very active in church activities. I was a youth leader. I was a camp leader. But looking back, I can now see that I never truly understood the gospel or what it meant to be a Christian. I got baptized when I was 13. Looking back, it was more like a rite of passage. I didn't really understand what I was doing or what it meant. It was just the next step to move into the youth group to be able to take communion in our church, and all my other friends were doing it too. So it just felt like I needed to do it too. The churches I attended when I was growing up and during my college years had a message that was mostly focused on the love of God and how he loves us the way we are, how we're meant for greater things, which now I understand, right, is part of the whole gospel message, but it's not the whole gospel message. I don't think they were bad churches or that they were teaching a message that was completely wrong. I just think that a very important part of the gospel was not stressed enough. That part being, of course, that we are all sinners, short of a perfect God and in need of salvation. When this part was in fact preached, I don't think I was really listening, since we all know this part of the gospel is not very appealing. When I was 18, I started going to college to study industrial engineering. The college I was attending was far from home, so it required me to live close to campus and far from family. Looking back, we can say I was living a double life, the life during the week at college and then the life during the weekends back at home. I was doing a lot of the things that my quote-unquote other Christian friends were doing, so it never really occurred to me that I was being disobedient to God and, you know, the God I said I love so much. This was my life for a very long time. When I was done with my bachelor's, I moved to Tampa, Florida, to continue with graduate school. Not much changed during this time. And I started experiencing during my graduate studies a lot of anxiety and depression. There were many times that I was desperate and with no hope. But I never really talk about this to anyone, not even my parents, because I had this idea of the person that I needed to portray, and talking about these things, admitting these things, would show who I really was, a mess, a sinner, in desperate need of salvation. This takes us to 2012, a really hard year in my life. A lot of exciting things happened to me during this year, and a lot of sad things happened too. I got married on March 2012 to Andres, and it was a very happy day. I graduated from my PhD in August and had already started my first job that summer. Everything was going so well, perfectly well. But on September 5, I got the hardest news I've gotten so far in my life. My dad had passed away. Even though he had a serious heart condition, it took us all by surprise. He passed away in his sleep. Newlywed, starting a new job, and losing the one person, one of the persons that I love the most in this world, it was a lot to handle. Andres didn't have a job at the time, and we really wanted to stay in Florida, but God had better plans for us. He ended up finding a job in Boston. That November, we came for a weekend to look for an apartment. I went to see a professor at Northeastern with the idea and the intention just to network so I could find a job myself. And when I was done with that meeting, I was living with a job with him. So now, getting married, getting my first job, graduating from my PhD, losing my father, quitting my first job, getting a new job, leaving Florida after 6 years, and moving to a strange, cold, new place, all in 1 year. So as you can see, it was a lot. During this time, a lot of fear. I was experiencing a lot of fear. Fear invaded my life. Especially it was since my dad died on his sleep, I was so afraid of going to sleep thinking that I was not going to wake up. I was also so afraid of losing other loved ones. It was the first time that I experienced any death in my family, so then it became all very real to me. So fear of losing other loved ones, fear of dying, fear of the future. And then this fear started to mess up so many of my relationships, especially my new marriage. But through all of this, God never abandoned me. I can see now how he had been working in my life since the very beginning. When we arrived to Boston, I started looking for a church. My biggest and only requirement was that it had to be a Hispanic church. The churches I visited, I never visited again. I don't know how else to explain it, just that they didn't feel right. I got so discouraged that I even stopped visiting churches for a while, but I knew deep down I needed God and that I needed to congregate, that was a part that was missing in my life, and a lot of the problems that I was experiencing at the times were because I was getting farther and farther away from God. I decided to try again, and this time open my options and look for churches in my area. We were living in Watertown at the time and found a church called Redeemer Fellowship Church in Watertown while doing an online search. We arrived at RFC during the First Gen series, so talk about good timing. This was such a convicting series for me, how hard it was to look at myself through the First John lens. 1 John 5:10 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." I was a liar, and even scarier, I was deceiving myself. I said I love God, but I was not obedient to his word. I said I was a Christian, but my hope was not in Jesus Christ. This series, in conjunction with other things I will talk a bit more in a minute, helped me realize I was not saved and I was deceiving myself. That God is love, but he's also holy and perfect and just, and that I was a sinner falling short of a holy God. But that for some reason I will never truly understand, he has shown me grace. Even though I'm not deserving. He sent his son to die in my place so that I have eternal life with him. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2, 1-2. During this time, my marriage was not in the best place. RFC's pastor, Chris, and assistant pastor, Andrew, very kindly started marriage counseling with us. When we got married, Andres was living in California and I was living in Florida, so we really didn't have the opportunity to get premarital counseling. Growing up with divorced parents, I also didn't have an example of what a Christian marriage looked like. My image of marriage was the one that I created myself from my own experiences and society. But before we started marriage counseling, reading the book, What Did You Expect?, Chris and Andrew did a study with us that was called, Why Do We Need Jesus? Who is Jesus and what did he do? And what does it mean to believe in Jesus? And I still remember this vividly. I'm there thinking like, oh, great, you know, like, if we need to do this, we'll do it. But I know everything that there's need to be known about Jesus. I've been in church my whole life. But, you know, this will be good for Andres. Andres needs this. So I'm going to sit through this with him just because he needs it. But little did I know that I was the one in dire need of this message. What a humbling and convicting experience this was. I knew all these things, but I was not truly believing these things. I was not fully trusting in Jesus as my King, Lord, and Savior. I can say this was the first time that I truly understood the gospel. I used to see Adam and Eve seen as something they did and that did not really relate with me at all. I considered myself a good person, good enough to get to heaven. I didn't see myself as a sinner, and even more importantly, I didn't realize my sin was separating me from God. But as Romans 3:10-11 says, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together, they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. During this study, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross started to have a whole new meaning for me. Now things click. The cross made perfect sense. I was falling short of a perfect and just God because of my sin. There was nothing I could do on my own to fix it. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, and so that no one may boast." So salvation is by grace, through faith on Jesus and his work on the cross, and I was in desperate need of this. He nailed my sin to the cross and canceled my debt. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Also during this time, the women's ministry at RFC started a book club, reading the book Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. Another convicting, eye-opening experience. God was like, you know, from every side, from every angle. I was believing and living so many of the lies described in this book. For example, I used to excuse my sin thinking, this is how I am, I can't change, and I can't help the way I am. Or, oh, my sin isn't really that bad. When the truth is that I'm responsible before God for my behavior, responses, and choices, and no sin is small. Every act of sin is an act of rebellion against God. I started to become aware on how my thoughts and believing these lies were shaping my actions and my relationships with others and God, and how in desperate need I was of repenting and renewing my mind with the truth. There are so many I related to. God spoke to me so much during the time together with these other ladies that I don't have the time to go over all of them. But a very big one was thinking that my career was more valuable and fulfilling than being a wife or mother, and that I was the one in control of determining when to start a family and the size of said family. This study helped me understand I was being disobedient in this aspect of my life. During this time, I learned that in the will of God, there is no higher calling than to be a wife and a mother. I learned what it meant to be submissive to our husbands. I learned that one of the purposes of marriage is to produce godly offspring, and that children are to be received as a blessing from God. So God's timing is perfect. He brought me to RFC just when I needed to be there. The First Gen series, Pastor Chris and Andrew's marriage counseling, the Women's Ministry Book Club, all of this combined, right, made me realize I was a sinner and that I needed to trust Jesus as my Savior. My first reaction to all of this was to be really bad, mad, and blame others but me. I blame my other Christian friends for not being Christian enough, and I blame my pastor for not explaining the gospel the way that I needed to hear it. But ultimately, the only responsible person for my sin was me. During the summer of 2014, I saw myself for who I really was. All the things I've done, I've thought, it all become very real. And I was so sad. All this time saying I loved God, and my actions were saying otherwise. I was truly heartbroken. But I found comfort on the cross. I decided to trust Jesus and started to follow him as King, Lord, and Savior. Having people at church willing to meet with me, offering me their friendship, and being willing to disciple me was very crucial during this time. I repented and changed my ways. I started trusting Jesus on my marriage, on my family, and on my job. Now my priorities are all shifted, and God is first, then my family, and lastly my career. The way I see things are different now, too. Now I understand that marriage is not just a love, passionate, and romantic story, that marriage was made to glorify God as two imperfect persons become one. Andres and I can try all we want, but only God can sustain and grow our marriage. Now I see family as my first and most important job. Once I decided to trust God in this area of my life, he blessed me and Andres with David Fernando and Sebastian Andres. I've been called to serve my family, and that's a really hard job. Other moms know, because it requires dying to self every single day. Before, my career was one of my first priorities. My identity was put in what I did, what I was able to accomplish. Maybe if all of this would have happened many years ago, I wouldn't have completed a PhD. But I believe God allowed me to study and become a professor for a purpose much bigger than advancing my career. Now I know my identity is in Christ, and I understand that I have the possibility to touch so many lives, that my job at Northeastern is not about me, but God. I still pray to find my way as a Christian woman, that's also a wife and a mother in the academia environment, and to understand what God has for me in my workplace. But I've already seen him working in this area of my life as well. He's been opening so many doors, forming new connections with other Christian professors, showing me ways I can shine a light in an environment that can be very dark and hostile sometimes. Before Christ, I also had a hard time sharing my struggles with others because of pride and how I wanted to appear before others. Now I'm so grateful for my brothers and sisters and their friendship. I'm grateful that God has freed me of my pride and I can reach to others with my struggles and ask for help. I don't have to be all put together, but what's important is to have my hope in the right place. I can say I don't struggle now that I follow Jesus with all my heart. That will be a lie. I still struggle sometimes with anxiety and anger and selfishness. I still struggle in my marriage, in my life as a mother, finding my place in academia and balancing all of this with my personal life and so many others. But now, Christ helped me with these struggles. Now, problems are approached a different way, and there's just something about putting one's trust in Christ that makes big things look trivial, right, in perspective of eternity. I really don't know how people, including the old me, can live without the hope of Jesus Christ's salvation. Now that I've been a Christian for 5-something years, I look back to my journey and I'm just amazed as to how God has been directing my life even when I didn't know it. I would have never imagined 10 years ago I would be now in Framingham, married with 2 boys and surrounded by snow for a great part of the year. But God knew exactly what I needed, and it's true what they say, He's never late. He has been bringing me and Andres to the places and surrounded us with the people and resources we need to grow in Christ as a couple and parents. We were sad when our journey at our previous church, RFC, ended because we moved to Framingham, and it was just too hard to be a part of the church community with 2 little boys. We prayed and prayed for a church, and this time I had an extensive list, not just that it had to be Hispanic like before. And God brought us here to Crossroads, where we've been able to form new relationships and where we look forward to continue to grow and at the expectation of what God has for us here. I might not see it yet, but if my story tells me anything, is that God always brings us where we need to be. I want to finish saying that in my conversion story, being a gospel-centered church was crucial. Having prepared pastors that were not afraid to preach the hard parts of the gospel was essential. But it was also the friends and church community, those that sacrificed their time to meet with me, answer questions, listen to my burdens, and disciple me. I can't stress enough how thankful I am for those that took from their time to help me navigate through some of the darkest moments of my life. Discipleship connects us with the fellow believers and equip us for faithfulness. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up." Thank you so much for letting me share my story with you this morning.
Thank you. Amen. Well, that was encouraging, wasn't it? When Dinah shared that story with us when they were becoming members was that the gospel is powerful, isn't it? It says it's the gospel message that changes people's hearts and lives, and that's good to remember.